First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on your road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next, postwrestling.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever podcast app you use, and of course...
Twitch.tv/UpNextPodcast.
Hello.
Hello, Twitch room.
Hello, yes. Hello, universe. Hello, NXT friends.
Friends.
We are here. It is another Tuesday night. We are recording this podcast. Going to chat all about some WWE NXT 2.0. Can't wait. We're on the road to...
The road to in your house.
We're on the road to your house.
On the road to your house.
Let us in.
Yeah. And we're learning how to control our impulses.
Yeah, I am with this show.
Yeah. A lot going on right now.
That's right.
Tournament changes, injury angles, so much.
There's going to be a lot going on.
Sacks of balls slapping faces.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll get into it.
Yeah.
100%. Hey, thanks for listening. We happy you found us. New listeners, check us out on this very free feed. We'll be back this week with BD Elite, chatting all about some AEW Dynamite. I think we're going to record that on Thursday this week as well. We'll probably go back to Wednesday nights the following week. But this Thursday, we'll record that on Twitch at 2 p.m. Eastern time. And then it'll go up on this free feed. So we'll chat all about the finals of the Owen Hart thing, or the semifinals, what, Joe versus Kyle? That should be lit. So we'll chat all about that and everything.
Tony versus Britt in the women's tournament.
Tony Storm, yes. Yeah. So I was thinking Tony D'Angelo.
No, that's the other show.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all the AEW stuff, because I'm super hyped for Double or Nothing, and we definitely dive into a ton of that stuff on that show. So go check that out. And, of course, on this free feed as well, Shot in the Dark with John Cena, where he chats all about all the other wrestling. You want to know what's going on? He will fill you in on everything with the stats and in like 15 minutes or less. The guy's a wizard.
He is a wizard.
He's our wizard, yeah.
He's our wizard.
Those are all the podcasts, of course, on this feed as motorcycles outside.
It is noisy today.
Yeah, the city's come alive again
in
Toronto. And then, of course, you can check us out. If you want to hear more of us, guys, you check us out on patreon.com/upnext because we have so many podcasts out there. Check out our best match ever, Owen Hart, which is up, featuring all us talking all about the best of him. We have a Was Next where we're in 2013 NXT. With these retro reviews, but it kind of crosses paths this week as world champ patron. You world champs get to pick stuff for Up Yours. And well, Chris Thunder from Down Under picked NXT in Melbourne. So we're actually going to be chatting all about NXT in 2017. Well, technically the end of 2016. When NXT went over and did a little world tour, they stopped off in Melbourne. So we are chatting all about that show. Nakamura versus Joe in the cage.
We're talking about a lot of cage matches this week, and that wasn't by design.
Yeah.
That just kind of happened because we've got, Joe versus Nakamura at the end of 2016, beginning of 2017, in a steel cage for the NXT Championship, putting their rivalry to an end. And then we've got, on our next review, a review from the six, we're talking about Fully Loaded 2000, featuring maybe the greatest cage match ever. Rikishi versus Val Venus.
It's a banger. You can't wait to rewatch that tomorrow.
And then, of course, Wardlow versus Shawn Spears tomorrow.
Oh, right. On
in the cage.
Dynamite. In the cage
match. All the
cages. Wow, lots of cage matches. Mm. Yeah, so Double or Nothing's this weekend, and we're going to be watching it. We'll be doing some sort of review on the Monday at some time. But, it's all Vegas. It's Double or Nothing. So you thought it would be fun to kind of look back at the WWF version, which was this Fully Loaded in Vegas. So all the Vegas themed stuff there. So what, Triple H versus Jericho?
Last man standing match.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got Rock Benoit for the title.
Damn. Okay.
You have Undertaker, Kurt Angle. It's going to be your ass, boy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good stuff. No, I'm excited to read.
It's a good show. I'm looking forward to read. It's been a while since I've watched this one.
Yeah. So that, the NXT Melbourne one, and all the other podcasts out there that we've released previously. So
yeah,
everything.
Last week we released an episode of Reviews from the Six celebrating the 25th anniversary of Slamboree 97.
That was
a lot
fun.
Of football players.
Yeah.
You got
Ultimo Dragon versus
Dragon,
Regal.
Yeah.
That was sweet. Rey Mysterio versus, I can't remember his name. That match was great, too. Mm. There were some sweet matches on Slammery. It was a fun WCW look back. So there's a kind of a little bit of everything going around on the Patreon. And, of course, all the movie reviews as well.
And also, this time last year, we were joined by WH Park to talk about the best matches of Hana Kimura. We've just come up to 2 years since her tragic passing. And I know Post have been putting out terrific stuff this week. I know Karen Peterson puts together something. Hana Kimura, we just had the Stardom Hana Kimura like memorial show.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's kind of a good time to go back and kind of celebrate her life and her career. And I think that was a really good show we did last year with WH. So if you want to kind of go and kind of pay tribute to Hana in some way and throw on some matches of hers, check out that. That's on the free feed. And we reposted it recently on our Twitter.
Yeah, it's on the red circle link there. And then I think it's on the YouTube, maybe somewhere deep in there. But yeah, go check that out. But we did retweet that out. So go check it out. All the best of Hana Kimura, because that was awesome. She had some amazing matches, and it was great to do that last year. So yeah, go check that out. That's free to listen to, of course. And go check out all the stuff that I believe she still has her pro wrestling tees, that all the funds there go to her family. So go check that out as well, because she had some awesome merch as well. You have one of her shirts.
I've got one of her shirts. Great. Yeah.
So yeah, all the different podcasts, go check us out at Up Next Podcast on Twitter. And there's a Facebook page and a Facebook group that you can join, the whole community there of all the BDE universe, where we chat all about all sorts of different things like wrestling and movies and all sorts. But yeah, thanks. Welcome to our TED Talk. That's the show. Goodbye. That's it. There's a lot going on, though. There's some crazy things.
What's been going on?
I mean, Sasha Banks walking out of Sasha and Naomi walking out of WWE. That still seems to be the thing. Everyone's like, oh, what's going on with that? It's definitely interesting. And I know I'm a broken record when I say such and such needs to be All Elite, but Sasha Banks needs to be All Elite 100%. She could definitely give her the keys to the kingdom there and let her take that women's division to the next level. If, you know, the coolest thing when Moxley left WWE was to, you know, go to New Japan or do all these things. Sasha probably wants to do Stardom or all sorts of other stuff. So I'm interested to see her leave WWE. It's unfortunate for Naomi because the bloodline, it would have made so much sense with the Usos and everything. But
I think it's not as easy as she's not just going to walk into AEW.
Yeah.
And I feel this is going to go on, could go on for quite a while and could get quite messy. It's such an interesting approach WWE's taken by just kind of publicly trashing these two in a way, doing it on TV with Michael Cole. But yeah, I don't know what the deal is with their contracts, but I believe WWE can freeze contracts for certain reasons and things. So it could be a while before we see these two anywhere. Ultimately down the line, I think they're going to be a huge star whenever they come back, wherever they come back to. But it's just a shame because Sasha especially is one of my favorites. And the fact that it could be a year. Potentially,
right.
Or more, if we see him again. Punk took 7 years.
Yeah.
You know? It's a shame, but it's really interesting. I did see Pat McAfee's comments about, because everyone was going off about his facial expression.
He was Mike Myers when Kanye West was going off about George Bush, when Michael Cole was talking.
So, yeah, he said on his show that he was kind of learning everything there about the suspension and stuff and just found it fascinating. It was like, he's like, yeah, that's...
He was caught off guard.
I don't know anything.
Yeah, he was totally caught off guard.
Facials in that are just tremendous.
What? Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Sasha... I am a big fan too. It looks like, she was promised a WrestleMania. She was promised things and then she got a little sour about it. And one thing led to another. It seemed like she just wanted to do good with the tag division that they keep just, throwing lies to her or whatever it seems. But of course we don't know these people, but I mean, I am a fan of Sasha Banks and I too would love to see her just wrestle. Like they had her in the same company as Io Shirai. We had the match. It sets up for a rematch down the line. They never went to that. Mm. You could have done Miko versus Sasha as a special event for NXT UK. Never done it. There's so many different things that I think she wanted to do that maybe she's like, you know what? I could go and help this other roster over there. Maybe she is watching. She feels like someone who watches everything.
Yeah, I feel
and
like
is a
she
fan.
Does. Yeah.
And she's in Star Wars, dude. She's in Star They don't like they didn't promote that at all. We were just on a random Star Wars YouTube rabbit hole the other night and we're like watching a clip, you know, Luke Skywalker fucking people up and we look, "Oh, look, there's Sasha Banks just in Star Wars." And WWE didn't treat like that was like the biggest thing ever. So, they messed up. She is a bigger star than they think they was. Like I saw someone say they underestimate how big she is a star and overestimate of how big Ronda is a star.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And I think that might be why they're taking this approach. Like back when Austin walked in, what, 02, I'd say? Where was he going to go?
Yeah.
There was nowhere. So, TNA. Yeah, they did a bit of trashing of him. But, yeah Austin wasn't going to go to TNA. Like, no. Punk, like, he waited until this AEW thing was a thing before he came back to wrestling. I feel that they know. In a different era, they'd have just fired. But now it's like, well, you can't do that. So what is the punishment? And it's, I guess, what they're doing. Like, making it very public. It seems very, like, emotional from their part.
It seems like Vince
is
mad.
What I mean?
You know?
You can see it. You can see it in the statements and everything that he's pissed off that this has happened.
Yeah.
But I think power to him, you know, like these contracts are so one-sided, like have a talent turn on the other.
And hey, it's easy to be like, well, you know, that's their job. Why are they walking out of a job? Like, yeah, people do it. When Punk did it, everyone went off and praised it. Well, some people did. But if there's still mixed reactions.
You get people, yeah. Both sides either way. But yeah, I think especially with all these releases in the last couple of years, when you realize these contracts just aren't worth anything, you know?
You can get fired right away.
It doesn't matter if you're signed for 5 years, because it's really a 3-month rolling contract is what you're on. And so, yeah, like they're artists at the end of the day, and they want to kind of protect their art, you know? And when you know you're in an environment now where you're so, nothing is certain, you've seen top guys being released there, like why not,
you know, make a stand. Nothing is certain in wrestling, nothing, because there's rumors of Triple H and Stephanie McMahon splitting up. I want a divorce. I don't believe it in my lifetime, not for a second. What do you think?
Okay, so Stephanie, tell me about these rumors.
Okay,
because you just ended a show the other week being like, "Hey, apparently Finn Balor and Io Shirai asked for their release," and just left it like that. And I've seen nothing of the sort.
Oh yeah, yeah, I did see that. But I mean, you know, if you see things online, it's like I never know. I never go for it. I always wait till Post Wrestling posts it to be like, yeah, it's a sure thing. But I haven't
seen anything on Post. About
no, they
this.
Haven't. No. I haven't seen anything about this. But I mean, Stephanie McMahon leaving WWE or taking this like leave of absence is quite strange. And I know a lot of people online were like, "Oh, you know, maybe there's trouble at home." Triple H, you know, retiring, the health scare and everything like that. Like, maybe she's taking time off and just being with the family and being with him and stuff like that. I've heard Triple H is now back working for like WWE doing stuff again.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. It's interesting.
Like making coffee. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be so sad if there was any actual truth to those rumors or statements, but just growing up as a wrestling fan, that's just how it was. They were the king and
the
king. They're the king and queen of wrestling. So like, yeah,
I mean, it used to
never
be,
say
it,
never.
It used to be Triple H in China, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. True. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The Stephanie Triple H stuff is interesting with Steph kind of stepping away from her role, essentially, in WWE and saying spending time with family and things. It's very interesting, like the last, 2 years with the way we've seen NXT kind of go on the USA network, try and compete, not win against AEW.
Right.
Moving days, Triple H getting ill, like the show changing completely, Stephanie stepping away. It is very interesting. And I'm sure at some point we'll hear like, years down the line exactly what's going on right now. But it's,
yeah,
it's curious.
Wei Tang is in the Twitch chat, says, Brayden's making me nervous with this conversation. Because, I mean, whenever I sometimes say things on a show, they randomly seem to happen eventually. But I'm not manifesting Triple H and Stephanie splitting up. I just want that to be clear. I'm not saying...
So why do you think they're splitting up?
I don't know. I see people saying certain things. People posted that she's been making public appearances without wearing her wedding ring. That's obviously like, yeah, you know, people take off their wedding ring. It's fine. But
hey. I mean, the barista at the coffee shop wasn't wearing her wedding ring, but yeah. Apparently she's married as well.
That's because she's working you, you mark. Do you think the pretty bartenders wear their rings too? No. Yeah, I don't know. I hope it's not a real thing. But I mean, Stephanie leaving is a big thing. But to be honest, in the past like little while of wrestling, I mean like the past 10 years, Stephanie has been like this character that I dread to see on my TV. It is an instant like turn off the show because I felt like that character ran its course for so long with the power. What did they call themselves? The authority. Like it was so played out. It was a rehash of a rehash. It just felt like so plain dead. So actually like disappearing and saying like, hey, I am taking a step back. Of course, like a lot more than just on screen, but a lot of behind the scenes stuff, like maybe that's good. And then if you do like eventually come back, it makes it a bit bigger deal, but I hope to split. That's not a real thing.
It is just been a strange year when you factor in like Shane, leaving at the Rumble, Vince on the, Pat McAfee show saying like he basically expects more from his kids and they don't deliver. Like it's, it's an interesting family. Like, yeah. It is real-life Succession, 100%.
It kind of is. Like, it feels like it's like this whole, you know, there should be shows made about the McMahons and what happens.
There is, isn't there? There's something being made.
Yeah, Dark Side of the Ring. yeah. I mean, Chris Leone in the Twitch chat saying maybe she is running off with Gringo Loco since she showed up to that GCW show. I mean, there's that.
That would be an upgrade, wouldn't it, really?
Leaving trips for
Gringo Loco.
Yeah.
He won our Rumble on 2K.
The other day?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had downloaded Gringo Loco. I'm going to be seeing Gringo Loco on Thursday.
You are?
In the six. Yeah, go to Demand Lucha on Thursday at the Opera House, downtown Toronto. If you're looking for tickets, I got some to give away, but you got to be in the Toronto area. DM us.
Who's he facing?
I forget. It's all like Lucha guys. There's some local guys that I'm not super familiar with. I know the Taskmaster, Kevin Sullivan's going to be there randomly.
Ringo Loco versus
that would be Taskmaster. That sounds wild, but they have announced a second show in the next month. And I know Speedball is going to be on the show. Gringo will be back as well. So, but yeah, imagine Stephanie McMahon goes and buys GCW. She leaves WWE, starts
wearing a backwards leather cap.
Yeah. Steffi and Effie.
Yeah.
Hanging out in GCW.
So who would Triple H would go to AEW? Stephanie would own GCW?
Well, Triple H could,
you got Rock with the XFL.
Yeah, The Rock with the XFL. You could have Triple H squash his beef with Freddie Prinze Jr. and join his thing. Elite. But I feel like, no, I feel like Triple H should be all Elite.
Yeah.
Get that Sting rematch.
Just give him Cody's, like, script for the next couple of years.
Just give him Cody's run. No, he says he can't wrestle. He won't wrestle again. So, yeah. I mean, but yeah, damn. It's interesting. It's crazy times. And then you got Ric Flair, who's saying he's going to wrestle. There's rumors that it could be Hulk Hogan involved in the match now. What the... No, stop.
Hulk Hogan? Jesus.
How do you make someone more or less interested in this match? I don't know. Add Hulk Hogan. I'm not, I mean, maybe it's for not that for a lot of people that is interesting. They do want
to
watch.
Welcome
that.
To the rumor mill every Tuesday night on Up Next.
Well, Ricky's not doing the match, right?
So, Ricky's not, no.
So, I mean, who?
Richie. Get Richie back.
Richie Steamboat versus Rick. Yeah. David Flair. Charlotte. You can't have any. No. Yeah. Damn, he says he's also going to jump off the top rope.
Rick?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
It'll be the finish. It's like the wrestler.
He's been watching Sting, basically.
He wishes he had that Sting run.
He's been watching Sting and is like, oh, man.
Yeah, he wishes he had that Sting run. Like, Sting, to me growing up, was definitely more a WWE person than WCW. Sting was okay. Surfer Sting, yeah, cool. Crow Sting, way cooler, but like still whatever. But Sting, AEW run Sting, best Sting.
Greatest of all time.
Yeah, he's definitely up there. Like, you could argue he's debatable, top five for sure.
I can see him doing this in 10 years' time still.
Ric Flair's like, you know, fucking beaming mad that he's seen Sting get all this glory like every week. Like, yeah, he's like, I could do that. And that's why he's hanging out with Jay Lethal doing these training, getting ready for his match.
So we're watching this match, right?
I imagine he's offering Sting a lot of money to be in the match, but Sting's like, eh.
What, Rick? Rick doesn't have a lot of money.
Oh. Well, whoever's putting
that's
it on.
Why he's doing,
yeah,
the
that's why
match.
He's doing this match. Put Gringo Loco in there.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good.
With Rick.
So it'd be, what, Rick and FTR versus Gringo Loco and
I don't
Rock
know.
And Roll Express?
Yeah, why is Rock and Roll Express brought into this? All this, what?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Jake's saying Conrad to give. Who are we talking to do the Sting? Sting,
yeah, Conrad would have
Sting
to
would show
it.
Him up, though. Rick would want to look.
Sting would show him up.
Rick 100%. Would want to look the best out the older guys.
Do you Sting no sells chair shots? I don't know.
Yeah,
like
it's the Rick, best spot. I love
it's
it.
Such a good spot.
I love it.
Okay, last rumor mill of the day. I swear, Kurt Angle got some surgery done.
Yeah, he's got his knees done, hasn't he?
One more match.
I think so. Let's do it.
I think it's going to be Kenny Omega.
Will he be ready in time for SummerSlam weekend in Nashville?
No, he's not going back. Is he still under the Fed contract?
No, that's when the Ric Flair match is, that weekend.
Rick and Kurt in the same fucking ring? They've fought before. The Woo Battle?
The Woo Battle.
Yeah. I think Kurt wants to do Kenny Omega. Kenny wants to do Kurt Angle, but...
Yeah, yeah, I could, like, we'll see how... We saw, I hope he's got Ray's guy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, get the Ray stem cell baby.
Because Ray, like, Ray Mysterio, like, 2013 wasn't that great. Ray Mysterio, what, 2022?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, what are the, how do those stem cell things
yeah.
work?
Yeah, so I hope that's what Kurt's on.
Just because Kurt looked, like, bad in his last match.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, it's Baron Corbin.
He looked in pain
yeah.
moving around.
Yeah,
you know?
He,
like,
he didn't look...
Even just walking yeah. around as GM, he like his legs were like...
They're here! To get the walkie-talkie.
Oh my god, no, Braun! That cost $100,000!
Yeah, I feel like one more match for Kurt and go out like on terms that I think he would be more proud of.
Yeah, as Vic Bear in the chat is suggesting. Kurt Angle, Danielson.
Yeah, look, like, of course we want these matches, but, like, this guy is way past his prime, way past, you know, his Perk Angle years definitely changed things for him, but...
Or maybe just have him show up in Peacemaker and have Cena put him away.
Yeah, no, I would watch him versus Danielson versus Kenny,
yeah.
even if it's not, you know, what you think it will be, like, fuck, it's Kurt Angle, like,
yeah.
he's one of the best, and... His last run, he didn't look too good. I just remember him in the shield gear, looking all real happy.
Yeah.
welcome to our rumor mill show. But yeah. you know, when I say these things happen. So we're going to also be really rich and successful.
Sounds good. Yeah. I think you run out of your luck there. That one.
Should we get into some NXT?
We should. I'm just looking because there's a lot of talk coming out of this show about Fabian Aichner. I'm
okay.
looking at our set, and we've got a Maven little micro brawler.
Yeah.
That could be a little Fabian Aichner right
Fabio.
There. I looked up.
We have an Ishii one, too. So just two bald guys here that both could pass.
It. Ishii looks like Ishii. Maven kind of looks a bit like Fabian Aichner, I think.
But I don't think... I mean, two bald guys. But yeah.
Yeah, short and stocky, though.
Is that... Maven's probably taller than him.
That's what I mean. Like, that doesn't look like... Maven's, like, taller than that.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
I know this
is
a little micro brawler,
yeah.
but... Shall we get into NXT?
Yes.
All right. NXT 2.0 from May 24th, 2022. We're at the... not at the Cruiserweight Classic, the Capital Wrestling Center, the CWC. And we start with Tony D'Angelo, Stax, and Two Dimes. And Tony's saying, Santos, you thought last week was cute? Well, we couldn't handle things like men. Santos had to go and settle things with brass knuckles. Well, tonight, you better pay attention. Because Stax and Two Dimes, these two stunards, are going to show you what we do for business. Tonight, Malik and Idris are going to get their faces smashed in. and they kind of walk towards the arena, and we see Santos looking suave behind him.
Yeah, he was watching, listening.
Watching on
the
with
whole
a little
time.
Cheeky grin on his face.
Mm.
So the gang warfare continues.
I like how we got full names for these guys now.
We do.
All right. Channing Stacks Lorenzo and Troy Two Dimes Sullivan.
What came first, this or...
The chicken or the egg?
No, like...
The stacks or the dimes?
Daddy Magic, Matt Menard, and fucking Cool Hand Ange Parker.
Stacks and Two Dimes.
Channing Stacks Lorenzo.
Yeah.
And Troy Two Dimes Donovan.
Love it.
Fuck.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So we start right away with this match. Stacks and Two Dimes taking on Idris Anofi and Malik Blade. And Stacks and Two Dimes were actually quite vicious off the gate. They're like just beating down on these two. There's a big back elbow and a scoop slam from Two Dimes. Anofi comes back with a big drop kick and arm drag. And then we get a picture-in-picture where we see Legado are watching on. And Santos tells Elektra that you've got this. They're going to go to the ring. So Santos with Joaquin and Cruz ahead in ringside. We get this big slap from Idris. Now both Idris and Stax are slugging it out. Anofi then takes out Two Dimes with a knee to the face, which looked quite nice, and makes the hot tag to Malik Blade, who goes for this like top rope dive. He kind of slips up, but he's just like a cannonball here, just running around, going crazy, recovers pretty quickly from the slip. Hit some nice drop kicks, arm drags, and that's when Legado come out and the Stacks and Two Dimes win by a double punch to the face, followed by a double boot, kind of sandwiching Blade's head, taking him out and getting the 1-2-3.
Yeah, I love Malik and Idris's like offense. Like they've shown that they've had some sort of little character flares in the past few weeks, adding the cape or whatever, the Doctor Strange cape or whatever. But like the wrestling is kind of showing better and better each time I see them. Like they are pretty fast and pretty fluid as a unit. So it's unfortunate that they're fodder to like the real newbies here as the cronies, but I thought they had like a little glimmer of like, okay, like if you were put in an actual like serious big matchup, you could probably handle yourself.
Yeah, they've got like an excitable energy
when
they're wrestling. Like it's quite like, it kind of makes sense they lose in a way because it's like all just juvenile, like,
yeah,
like young energy and then slipping up towards the end.
Yeah, and then they had to lose to, you know, the Batman Penguins.
I didn't mind them, actually. I thought the way they, like, this is the first time we've seen from them, and I thought they wrestled quite viciously, which I thought made sense for the character. Like, they were quite scrappy. They felt like cronies that would, like, just beat down, like, keep it quite ugly. And in a way, I felt this made more sense to the character than, like, D'Angelo's style.
Like, they're more rugged. They're more like Goodfellas, you know.
Exactly.
Like
they're just beating them down. I didn't think they looked too bad here for this. I thought it was quite physical. After the match, D'Angelo says, "We know where this is going, so let's do this." And there's a big pull-apart brawl between Legado and the family.
Huge pull-apart. Everyone was out here.
Let them fight, chance. Yeah. Everything.
No William Regal to stop them and yell, "War games."
Robbie Brookside.
Robbie Brookside is there instead now.
He took his role. And he looked a bit like a shitty William Regal.
He does look like Regal. No, shout out Robbie Brookside. But he does look like Regal. Then they're both Brits.
Yeah.
So I love seeing him show up on TV. But yeah, it's pretty funny. Clearly, this leads to some sort of stadium stampede, anarchy in the
arena
match.
I was wondering if they're going to call it like what Tony says in a promo later, like turf war or gang warfare or something like that. I wonder if they'll do something like that.
Probably.
We see Wes Lee backstage, who's being interviewed by Mackenzie Mitchell, and she's asking him why he's picking a fight with the biggest guy. And he said, "I was running on pure adrenaline last week, and you would think a week after I'd regret calling Sanger out for a match, but I felt disrespected, and I regret nothing." Mackenzie says, "I don't think Sanger like meant any disrespect by it." He says, "Well, I didn't see it that way, and if I'm going to make in this business on my own. I need to prove myself against people like Sanger.
So even Mackenzie's like, yo, bro,
chill. This like guy he's a nice guy.
Yeah. Wes is now on, like, getting pushed to his limit, Wes. Yeah. He's like, he's losing it a bit.
But I like this. I think we're seeing a different side from Wes rather than just the joking around Stoner. With stoners. Yeah. I like it. Even if he's maybe, yo, chill. Sanger's all right.
Yeah, maybe he needs to smoke again to realize his coworkers are not actually trying to fight him.
Yeah. So we get the match now. Sanger versus Wes Lee. Sanger hits Wes with this huge build started off. It kind of reminded me of, you know, Keith Lee, Max Caster, was it?
Keith Lee, everyone.
Yeah, yeah. It was that first one he did on Rampage, though, where he just launched.
The Beal.
Yeah, it was. Oh, was it Max Caster or Isaiah Cassidy?
Maybe? Isaiah Cassidy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He eats him.
Wes Lee took this really well.
Yeah. I mean, every time you say the Beal throw, I think of Jessica Beal.
Jessica Beal?
The Jessica Beal throw.
Yeah, Ian Beal for me. You know that. Sanger then just steps over the top rope, and you realize how tall this guy is. Just stepping on Lee. There's then this big elbow across the chest. Wes Lee keeps on going for the legs. He's punching and kicking at the knees, trying to take the big man down. And hits a slingshot double stomp to the back of Sanger. And just as Wes Lee seems to be getting into it with his offense, striking Sanger, almost knocking the big guy down, Sanger just with one big hand swats Wes Lee in the chest. Wes goes for another double stomp and gets clotheslined. And then hit by this huge clothesline, this huge choke slam, getting a lot of height there. Sanger picks up the win.
Yeah, it reminded me of these like old Kane choke slams. I'm thinking like 02 Kane or like, yeah. I just remember Kane being way bigger back then, and he would choke slam, one arm choke slam these dudes.
The best ones to me are Judgment Day 2000, Undertaker returning in the Iron Man match. He gets X-Pac up like so fucking high.
Right.
And Shane and all that. They're the best choke slams.
My favorite's Undertaker on Hulk Hogan. That's my favorite choke. No, this looks great because Wes is smaller, obviously, because that's why Sanger picked on him.
Yeah.
But the choke slam, he sells it like it's the biggest move. So, I mean, choke slam definitely like lost its thing because everyone kind of does it now. But when you use it this
when you
way,
get the height,
yeah, it looks way better.
One-handed one.
Sanger's kind of got some sort of like MMA gear on. He's got like the gloves and like a singlet. He looks like that, like a few of these gimmicks, like Sylvester Turkay or whoever, like these like MMA guys. But he is big when you see him.
The way he stepped over the top rope, normally the big guys do it quite slowly, and he just did it with ease.
Yeah.
I thought this was quite fun, actually. Wes Lee is obviously really athletic and can bump around nicely. And I think Sanger's big moves, like that Beal and the choke slam and like the swat to the chest, thought looked good. He's not as like bumbling as some of the big guys. I didn't mind this, but poor Wes Lee being beaten again. This is where Zion Quinn then comes out to kind of rub salt in the wounds. He's going to beat up Wes Lee, but Sanger pulls him away, picks up Wes, gives him a little hug. So I think Wes has found a new partner.
Wow. We found the replacement for Nash Carter. Sanger.
Why not?
MSK 2.0 with Sanger.
Yeah, the Sanger always stood for... the S always stood for Sanger, I guess.
What does the M and the K stand for? Yeah, great. I'm excited.
I'm trying to think of MSK, including Sanger.
Most Sanger...
Club with a K.
Honestly, like, this was a quick little thing, but the story of Wes is clearly something they're going to work on, so cool. I'm sure we're going to go to Quinn versus Wes again, but if we go with Sanger and Wes, I'm like, it sucks putting him back in the tag team kind of role or position, so maybe it's just like a part-time thing, but it's also funnier if he gets even more mad that Sanger, like... stopped. He's like, no, I was supposed to get beat up. He's like Lieutenant Dan in Forrest Gump. Like, no, you're supposed to leave me here. Why are you doing this? You made fun of me. You beat me, and you're saving me. Like, fuck. Like, dude, leave me alone. I'm trying to like prove myself, and you just keep, you know.
It's like, you know, when you like a girl, and then you meet their boyfriend, and they're really fucking nice, and it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
I want to hate this guy. Why are you nice?
Yeah, but Wes is just. He needs to get over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure he gets added to a match or pre-show match or something in your house.
Yeah.
Maybe a tag match. I don't know.
At Up Next Podcast, what should we call this new dream team of Wesley and Sanger?
Wes Sanger.
Sang Lee.
Sang Lee. Yo, that's lit. Sang Lee.
Sang Lee.
The legend of Sang Lee.
We see Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez backstage, and Roxanne is like, oh, I'm facing Lash Legend next week. Tonight. And she's so much bigger than me. And Cora says, yeah, well, remember when you had an issue with Jenna Waters?
Who?
Back in the day. I imagine she's some big girl. And you were fine against her. You took her out all right. And she goes, well, we're missing out the part when you hit her backstage with the skateboard. She said, ah, and they're just laughing about it.
That Jennifer Waters.
Yeah. And then Cora says she's going to go ringside to watch Electra Lopez versus Alba Fire, and says that Roxanne's going to kill it out there.
I found Jennifer Waters on Twitter. Microscopic builder.
I think it was Jenna Waters.
Oh, Jenna Waters. Well, then I'm just looking at some microscopic builder lady. But yeah, sorry, I don't know who Jenna Waters is.
Jenna Waters.
It's just some made-up name.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist. We made it up. It's false. It's fiction. Completely made up.
I cheated on my fears, broke up with my doubts, got engaged to my faith, and now I'm marrying my dreams.
Is that Jenna Waters?
Jenna Waters.
Okay. Yeah, it was weird that like WWE never mentions anything outside WWE, but the one time they do, it's to talk about how Roxanne beat up Jenna Waters.
After Cora attacked her with a skateboard.
This is weird.
Yeah, I think they're already setting the seeds for these two down the line.
Sure.
Right? Is it going to be Roxanne is the one to win this tournament, beat Mandy Rose, yeah. And then you've got Cora maybe jealous
and
of
upset,
that
yeah.
And upset? Or do you have it the other way? Do you have Cora win the title against Mandy and then Roxanne challenging her friend and doing it that way?
But Wendy Chu's winning the title.
Wendy Chu is having the match, yeah. But I quite like these little things because I definitely see it setting up for a turn down the line. And a little heelish. Like, what's Cora doing, like, messing around with Elektra for?
Yeah, it's weird.
And attacking people with skateboards. Poor Jenna.
Shout out Jenna Waters.
She's married to her dreams. Yeah. We then see Bron Breakker
earlier today,
and two random guys,
jobber cops,
come up to him and say, "Hey, like something's happened in the locker room. I think Gacy's fucking with you, or whatever." And he's like, "Oh, cheers, lads. let's go in." And he barges into the locker room where he sees his. I wouldn't leave your title just hanging up like this.
I guess it's supposed to be a safe space.
But it's clearly not. His dad got kidnapped when he brought him to work that
day. Yeah, true.
Like,
yeah, you're the champ. You're supposed to walk around with it all the time.
I think so. Or at least lock it away. Don't just leave
lock
it
your locker room,
hanging.
Yeah.
But we see a Polaroid stuck to the locker from 20 years ago. And we know it was from 20 years ago because Bron says, "This is from 20 years ago."
I don't know why this reminded me of the movie Scary Movie when the character Greg comes out of the shower and like the killers put the post-it note and it's supposed to be like, "I know what you did last summer," but it's a picture of him and his little dick. So he's like, "Who did this?" I felt like this was Bron in this moment. Like, who did this? Who posted a photo of me as a kid on my locker? Jesus.
So, yeah, Gacy's trying. I feel like it's all a bit backwards because it's now Gacy is trying to break Bron, and Bron is like, "I can't be broken." This guy's already pushed.
I'm the breaker.
This guy's already pushed you off a perch. He's kidnapped your dad. But, like, just posting a photo in your locker is enough to send you over the edge. Final straw.
It's really weird. It's weird. It doesn't make sense. It sucks.
We then go to Electra Lopez versus Alba Fire. Electra is pretty dominant for most of this match, and she's focusing on the left arm and shoulder of Alba Fire. At one point, Fire goes for the Gory Bomb, but she can't quite get Elektra up with the injured arm. Elektra continues to target that, hits a shoulder breaker, but then Alba comes back and hits the Swanton Bomb for the win.
Yeah, it was pretty quick. You knew that Fire had to get like her first big win since this character kind of changed and on this little push she's getting. I think we've talked about how I think she should just be put on the main roster to kind of see what she can do there, because I think there is some stuff she could do. Because here it's like another Swanton. It looks good, but like, what are we doing with the character?
I'm just not interested in her. Like, I think she's a good wrestler, and I think that's the point. I don't see this character working in this system. So I think it is time. She's good. Like, she's good. And I think on the main roster, even if you were to put with like Nikki and Doudrop or something and have like a Scottish faction up on the main roster.
Yeah, we've watched them wrestle before.
Would be more interesting for all of them, I think. I liked how they did give Elektra quite a lot in the match, but it was pretty quick. And I don't know where you go with Alba Fire, really.
Well, Elektra was mad that she lost.
Yeah, because Cora is at ringside watching the whole match with popcorn and
she's
everything.
She's doing the Michael Jackson gif eating popcorn.
Exactly.
Like, oh, wow.
And Elektra is mad and just smashes the popcorn out of Cora's hand.
Oh.
And Cora's like, yo, that's my popcorn. But she Cora definitely, like, why is she stirring up shit with Elektra Lopez?
Yeah. Like, you said you were going to be there for your friend's match, and that wasn't your friend's match. So
yeah.
You're already...
She's just, like, winding her up.
Also, like, a drink got knocked, too, and it went on the camera, so it made it kind of everything a little blurry for a little bit. But I hope they definitely cleaned it right after.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what a waste of popcorn. That was probably, like, $15.
Maybe. It is expensive popcorn.
I don't know. I've never been to the CWC.
They do sell popcorn at Access, I think.
But at Full Sail, they didn't sell beer. They sold, like, popcorn and snacks.
That's rubbish.
Yeah.
We see Damon Kemp on the phone when Diamond Mine, Creed Brothers, and Ivy Niles come in. And Damon Kemp reveals that the match against Pretty Deadly tonight is off, that Roddy rolled his ankle during training, and the match, therefore, isn't happening. And the Creed Brothers are pretty mad. They're like, whoa, why have we not been told about this? And Julius says, like, well, can't one of us just step in? Like, Brutus will, I will.
Yeah.
And Dame's like, oh, no, sorry, yeah, the match is off. It's been called off. And they go, well, this is Diamond Mine. You work through injuries. You just tape up and you go out there and you do it. And they're saying about how Brutus last week with the cannonball almost blew out his knees and his ankles, yet he finished the match. And in the Diamond Mine, there is no excuses. And Damon says, look, I'm just here to earn my spot and follow orders. And Julius says that in your house, Pretty Deadly's luck will finally run out.
Sounds to me like Roddy is ducking him.
He's
lying. I think there's going to be some sort of split with the Creeds leaving the Diamond Mine, possibly.
Maybe. I think so. And Ivy. Ivy seemed to be on, like,
the Creed side.
Yeah.
Okay, huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I really enjoy Julius and... I think they all sound pretty good here. I thought Damon, this is the first time we've really heard from him. And I thought he sounded pretty natural.
Yeah.
Less kind of high school acting as some of this, like, cast are.
I hope Roddy's okay.
Yeah, well, I wonder why, because they did promote this match. Is this just story, or
I think
was
it's
Roddy
just
away?
I think it's just story, but, I mean, I could be wrong. Because he made it seem like, oh, the match is, like, purposely, like, oh, no, I don't know, but...
Exactly.
Something's up.
Yeah. Do you think the split happens in your house?
You're saying that we still get Pretty Deadly winning the titles because Roddy... Or maybe Roddy shows up and finally the Creed Brothers realize, we are a group. I don't know.
Hmm.
I would like to see the Creeds win the title, but maybe this is a way to now spin them off to fight Roddy and...
This is probably the story I'm interested in most at the moment.
Yeah.
The Diamond Mine story, because I like everyone in it. And
the wrestling is there.
If the wrestling connects... they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, if that connects, it works.
And because it's more of a traditional wrestling story.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I mean. Like, wrestling
it's
just needs to be...
simpler,
yeah.
And it works.
You don't need druids and spooky tattoo men and, you know, kidnapping dads. You just need to go, hey, I really like winning matches. Because, that's what this is about.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's not that hard.
We then get a bit of news that Nikita Lyons is injured. I hadn't heard about this during the week at all.
No, I didn't hear anything.
This kind of came out of nowhere. Nikita Lyons is injured. Don't know the kind of state of the injury. But it's enough to pull her from the tournament, and they've given Fallon Henley, who was meant to be her opponent, a bye to the finals. And this is when Tiffany Stratton walks in, who's a bit miffed that she wasn't in this tournament in the first place, and asks if Fallon's just going to stand there and take the easy way to the finals, and says, this little country act with your little country dumb and dumber, and you didn't even earn your spot there. And Fallon says, well, yeehaw, bitch, let's make this official.
I did love that line.
Yeehaw, bitch.
Tiffany called her a country bumpkin and then called Briggs and Jensen dumb and dumber. And then Briggs in the back was like, he was like mouthing to Jensen, like, I'm dumb, you're dumber. and then they talk about how Jensen still hasn't lost his virginity.
Yeah, Wade talks about it all throughout the match as well.
Yeah, he loves talking
like
about
that fucking virgin.
I have seen Virginity Rocks t-shirts at a Zoomies the other day. I was oh, that's where people are buying these things. Shout out Virginity. So Nikita is injured, and yes. Tiffany's taking her spot in this match. Yeah, I didn't hear anything. I've now seen that it could be, again, it could be part of the storyline, but... This
all made sense, though, I think. Like,
yeah.
Henley would be like, no, let's fight. Let's put it up. And Tiffany has been going on about this for a few weeks, why she's not in the tournament.
So. Yeehaw, bitch.
Yeehaw, bitch.
Did you hear that Nikita Lyons... Maybe Nikita was off. Maybe it's a fake injury like Roddy, that she's off. Did you hear she has a big fan?
So she has a big fan?
There's a fan.
Drake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Singer Drake.
He's moved on from 11... Stranger Things.
And he's gone to Nikita Lyons?
Season 4 has been taking too long, and he's like, it's NXT 2.0.
So do you think that Drake watches 2.0? Because there's talks that he's going to hang his boys with Harland.
Okay.
And now he follows Nikita. So I do think that Drake is a big fan of 2.0. What do you think Drake's favorite 2.0 character is? Tony D'Angelo.
Aside from Nikita.
Tony D'Angelo.
You think?
Drake would like Tony D'Angelo.
Why?
Just because it's like a cartoon, and it's how he thinks he would be, like how he would project himself, like a mafia gangster, but he's not.
Okay, interesting.
I'm trying to think if there's like a sad boy gimmick that would be his favorite gimmick, because like he's
Wesley at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. The thing with Drake, and people are saying that maybe he's a fan of 2.0. It'd be crazy. Imagine celebrities. They're just like us. They watch 2.0.
Probably just threw it on once and was like, what is this?
Nikita Lyons?
Nikita Lyons. Like, all right. Went to watch his mate Harlan's match. Saw him throw Spanky down the stairs and was like, I'm hooked.
It'd be great.
So we go to our first semi-final match of the evening, Lash Legend versus Roxanne Perez. Lash Legend, obviously, a lot bigger out the two and showing a lot of her kind of big power moves here. She hits a delayed reverse vertical suplex, followed by a kip-up and an axe kick to the back of Perez, which I thought looked quite nice, followed by a big backbreaker. Roxanne starts to come back with drop kicks to the knees, trying to chop down the bigger opponent. And then knocks Legend down, hits a Luthes press, but then Legend gets Perez up, kind of popping her up for like a power bomb. When Perez counters it with the code red for the win. Again, they keep on pushing this, like, it only takes 3 seconds. Like, yeah. She just hits this code red out of nowhere.
I love that they have a name for her code red now. Because her name is Roxanne Perez, they call that code red Pop Rocks.
Pop Rocks?
Yeah, I thought that's what I heard, so that's a pretty fun name for
nice.
But yeah. Lash Legend is someone who I think like gets a lot of criticism just because she's pretty green, and we've seen her like basically on air learning a lot of the time. But I don't necessarily think she looked bad here, but I think the story of this match was to make Roxanne overcoming the bigger wrestler. So it just really showcased Roxanne for me.
Yeah, and I think Roxanne just looks already, she's one of the youngest people in the whole company, and she's so polished already. I think some of the kind of dialogue stuff could improve. But wrestling wise, I think she looks so clean in there, and I think she's the easy winner for this tournament.
Yeah, 100%.
I think it makes a lot of sense. Have her move right into the title.
Maybe that's why they took out Nikita, because they realized they messed up. Like, you can't have both of them in this.
Yeah, whereas Tiffany can take the loss from it. Yeah, I see a lot of criticism for Lash Legend, and I really don't see it as much. I thought she, she doesn't look as polished as Roxanne Perez, but she hasn't been doing this as long, and I thought some of the moves she hit, like her big power moves, actually look pretty nice here. I feel like she's someone improving as well.
She was in NXT UK, hanging around, who's she with? Noam Dar?
Oh, right.
Isn't that recently?
Maybe.
Really weird. Listen to Shot in the Dark. He covered it. But Noam Dar was doing an angle. Was there a lashing out? Lash Legend and Noam Dar?
Well, Noam Dar has what is Supernova Sessions.
Supernova Sessions. Wow, that's a great name.
Yeah.
And then Lash Legend, Super Sesh? What is it?
Supersonic. Lashing out, isn't it? Super Lashing.
Super Session Legend. Super Legend Session.
Yeah, we're just, shipping everyone tonight, aren't we?
That would be a great
We're breaking team. Up Trips and Stephanie. We're putting together Lash and Noam. Sanger and Wes.
Wrestling has more than one royal family. Yeah.
We go backstage to Mandy Rose and Toxic Attraction. Mandy says about Indy Hartwell that calling me out was the worst thing you could do. And then they make fun of her having no tag partner and no life partner. And as they're going on, Kayden and Katana attack JC and Gigi, sending them off. And Mandy's just left there like, huffing and puffing.
Yeah.
And that leads us to our next match, Indy Hartwell versus Mandy Rose. Indy coming out with some new music here. I know I say that about everyone, but I think this is new music.
I mean, she's riding solo now, so she's got some new look, new Titantron, new gear. Like, everything's like, it's just Indy Hartwell. No family, no lovers.
No way or any of that.
Yeah. No way.
No way. No. The way. Indy goes for a bulldog, but Mandy pulls at the hair and sends her face first into the turnbuckle, then applies this long abdominal stretch, followed by a big forearm to the face for a two count on Indy. And this is where Gigi and JC run in, but Kayden and Katana run out to take them out. It's all brawling everywhere. As Indy is distracted by the commotion, Mandy hits her with the Rose trigger for the win.
Yeah, actually, I wrote down, I think it was an actual, just a big boot.
A big boot?
Yeah, right. But like this had the potential, I thought, to kind of show what Indy definitely is capable of. She had a few glimmers of some stuff, but nowhere near what I thought you could have done. Instantly made Indy prominent again, like right away, just have one big show up match. Yeah, Mandy can do the screwy finish at the end because you know they were going to come back out. But I didn't really get that. I think Mandy has regressed.
I completely agree. I was hoping for the same thing from Indy. I didn't see her winning the match, but at least have like a
hope spot.
Like, think we watched what? Takeshita Hangman.
Yeah.
And Takeshita, that's his first time on Dynamite. A lot of people don't know who this guy is.
Yeah.
And you watch that match and you go, wow, you lost, but you look great there.
Yeah.
And I agree. I feel that's what this should have been. But I don't think Mandy is good enough to have that kind of match with someone.
Yeah, it just didn't. Yeah.
And given the time and given like the screeniness of it, it just didn't really get going. And Indy showed nothing.
She can. She's great.
Which you know she's capable.
But this was not.
But maybe if it was like a, you know, Indy EO or something like that.
Oh, man, yeah.
You could get something out of there. But yeah, I found this very disappointing. I think Toxic Attraction are starting to sound better in their promos, but it's too late. This thing's been going on for, 8 months now? It's time to move on, but with the direction they're going, I don't see Wendy Chu being the one to, like, take it at the pay-per-view, so I expect even more of Toxic Attraction.
Well, I mean, Wendy Chu comes out here after this match.
Yep, so Wendy Chu then comes out and she has a big sack of balls and dumps it on Mandy.
Kind of.
And then
she kind of dumps it. She was having a little trouble with it at the beginning.
It's like a big like gym bag of like basketballs and stuff. And
bouncy balls.
Yeah. Dumps it on top of Mandy and then picks up the the NXT Women's title and holds it up and starts dancing like a 4-year old.
Yeah, you see this title? You know what this means? This title means balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wendy Chu can prove that the wrestling is there. The character is so silly that, like, hey, it's wrestling. We love silly stuff in wrestling. But it definitely, Mandy selling getting balls dumped on her was really bad. Like, I hated that. I hated Wendy Chu with the sandals and the hot sand thing. I'm hating a lot of this stuff.
I hate that she's acting like a child
right.
the whole time.
Yeah.
The dancing around and all that. It's not believable. And I know it sounds always compared to Orange Cassidy because he's got this.
Yeah. Acting like a kid.
No,
yeah.
I think there's actually some like depth behind everything right. with Orange Cassidy. And he seems like an adult human being.
Right.
Wendy Chu, it's just such a two-dimensional child. Like that's Jack. What she's playing. Yeah.
It's like a kid.
It is. Yeah, I don't like it. I like her as a wrestler, but I hate this Wendy Chu stuff as well.
I mean, I guess we can just kind of cover over because later Mandy cuts a promo saying that she's pissed off and stuff like that. And basically this match is announced for the yeah. paper, the premium live event.
So yeah, both the Toxic Attraction versus Kayden and Katana and for the women's tags and this for the women's.
Yeah, Mandy says, you're like a grown-up kid, but I'm a grown-ass woman. And then JC and Gigi say that Kayden and Katana are 2 feet tall and call them Oompa Loompas
yeah.
and accept their challenge as well. So two title matches added to the show. But yeah, not super. Look, if Wendy beats Mandy, cool, because that just instantly opens up things and whatever. But I can't see that happening.
I think can't see that
Perez
happening.
Is the go-to.
It's weird to have both your men's and women's titles tied up with such a gimmicky character.
Yeah.
Joe Gacy and Wendy Chu. It doesn't feel premium live
no.
event to me.
No.
Yeah. We go to Mackenzie Mitchell, who's interviewing Bron and asking if Joe Gacy is getting to him. And Bron says, look, Gacy's just trying to figure out a way how he's going to make me snap. And as he's talking, the screen, the TV turns on behind him. And we see a clip of a young Bron Breakker. Bron starts giving it the director's commentary here, saying, ah, this was the 85-yard touchdown I did at high school. And my dad promised he'd be at my game, but he couldn't make it because he was in Japan.
Damn. Wrestling. Damn, Rick Steiner.
Why did he promise if he knew he was having a tour booked in Japan?
Look, I promise I'm going to be there. It's like the movie Hook.
It's like, I really can't be there. I'm the other side of the
wrestling
world.
In Japan. Sorry.
It's not like I work late this day today.
Again, this is just really weird. Where do you think Rick was? Because we did a best match ever, Steiner Brothers, a few months ago, and we covered a few different matches from Japan. I think we were both really high on this really kind of rare candy of a wrestling match. Was it Steiner's? On January 4th, Japanese Wrestling Day,
yeah.
Against Hase and Muto. That was the match. That match.
I don't know if Bron would have been playing football in January.
True. This is true.
What was he there around like October?
And maybe it was later on, 94. You could have been too young. Maybe. But yeah.
This is Gacy playing with Bron being like, hey, remember when your dad let you down as a kid?
Yeah.
So he's trying to get in his head, but he won't. He's not going to snap.
I hate this storyline. It's so ridiculous that the Tron just turns to this footage and then you're leaning it on Bron to be the one to have to act out this.
Yeah, and Bron is just like, huh, oh yeah.
There's a video of me. Like, and then someone had to script this, right? So someone literally had to write this for Mackenzie to go, wow, that is impressive that you ran this football run. Fuck off. This character, they're hurting Bron.
They are hurting
I'm trying Bron. So hard to be like, yeah, this guy's great. This guy could be a big star in WWE.
Bron has been great.
Yeah, he is, but this storyline sucks.
And we said this about every Fiend feud. It ruins people.
Yeah.
We go to Pretty Deadly, who says
yes, boy.
That Roddy faked a lame-o injury and all isn't well in the Diamond Dojo. and they laugh that the Creeds think that they that things will be different next time they face them. They say that the Creeds are scared of them and say they'll never be beat and that they're synonymous with tag team greatness. Yes, boy.
They also said that they are the snacks of NXT.
They are the snacks.
Love it. I love that. I don't know which one's Elton and which one's the other one.
Is Elton the brunette? Elton
Prince? And... I don't know. One of them borrowed Becky Lynch's puffy shirt from Seinfeld, though.
Oh, yeah.
The pirate shirt. Yes, boy.
They're just their hair is ridiculous. They don't look like real people.
I don't know what it is. Don't hold it against me, anybody, but starting to love these guys just from the Yes Boy. They're making me laugh, and like they're proper heels.
Yeah.
Like they're saying annoying shit, and they're delusional, but then look at them with their outfits and their flowy hair. Yeah. Like everything is kind of – the wrestling needs to really hit to make me go, okay, like established – team, but
and hopefully against Creeds it will.
Yeah,
like
yes, boy.
We saw them what they had the match in the gauntlet. So now we'll actually have a bit of time, and hopefully they show up because I'm with you. I want to like these guys because I think the character is just there.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I think the characters are ready for like main roster.
Yeah, if the wrestling can hit 100%, because you could just see people hating these types of characters.
We go to our other semi-final match for the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament. Fallon Henley taking on Tiffany Stratton, replacing Nikita Lyons.
So it's Daddy's Little Rich Girl versus the Horse Girl.
The Horse Girl, yeah.
The Country Girl.
Yeehaw, bitch. There are some big chops from Fallon, and then Tiffany blows a kiss and just slaps her in the face. We get these big back elbows and a dropkick from Henley. And then Henley does the Briggs and Jensen, like the slide under the ring and punching them in the face as they're in the ropes spot. As Fallon classic spot. As Fallon is getting back into the ring, Tiffany catches her with a dragon screw leg whip, which looked quite nice. Followed by this double knee springboard senton, which looked really good. Kind of bouncing off the top rope, off her knees, flipping into a senton.
Yeah, very Lucha-esque here from Tiffany Stratton. First a dragon screw in between the ropes, and then like this tope senton into the ring. Very impressive.
And then hits a double, like the cartwheel, and then two handsprings into the elbow, into the corner. Looked really great, showing off her gymnastics here.
Yeah, again, very impressive. I keep thinking of all the times you see the wrestlers mess this move up because they just don't know where they are when they're landing. I don't blame them. It must be so difficult. But she had like some oomph on it, like some speed on this elbow. It looked cool.
Then applies a leg submission where she's kind of...
It's like the figure eight.
Kind of like the figure eight, yeah. Just had the one leg hooked with one leg and then bridging up. Looked pretty nice. And then this has done a lot of damage to Henley's leg. She's staggering about. She goes to charge at Stratton, but her leg just gives up. Then she gets hit by a drop kick in the corner, the kind of...
Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, the Jeff Hardy Naito drop kick in the corner. And then goes up top for the twisting Vader bomb. Or as Vic called it, quite the twist.
Hmm.
I don't know if that's not the name.
No, paycheck.
Or if he's going, what a maneuver.
Paycheck. Kind of needs to be the name. Paycheck or bust.
And Tiffany Stratton picks up the win.
Look, I've been telling you, Tiffany Stratton makes it happen. Definite big star in WWE, I think, going forward. If this is still in some of her early matches that have been airing on TV, like I'm sure, you know, they have training and stuff like that, then I think she's going to go quite a long way. Just like a lot of the little intricate things are starting to make sense. And I think she has quite a look to go with the character can easily be your basic mean girl character on the main roster or whatever. But the wrestling is kind of clicking now. Like she looked real clean with a lot of these moves.
Yeah, this is probably my match of the night.
Yeah, me too.
I quite enjoyed this. I think Fallon... is so polished as well. Like she just ready.
Yeah, true,
like
yeah.
I think she's got real, to me, like likability factor about her.
Yeah.
And I think her wrestling really shows up. Like it's good. And Tiffany just looks better and better every week. I think it makes so much more sense her winning because you then got a good strong heel against the babyface.
Yeah.
And also I think the match should be they're kind of the same size, Roxanne and Tiffany.
Tiffany's kind of jacked, though. Tiffany's like a unit, yeah, almost.
But yeah. I think with Roxanne, I think they could work a really nice match, actually, these two. I think this.
Yeah, I mean, they said last week in all the videos that Fallon is the oldest in this tournament, and she's not that old at all. So it's like,
she's
she's 27, and everyone else is like a little younger. But I think you're right. Like, she's got a great look. I know that, you know, doing a cowboy or cowgirl gimmick for her is kind of like basic, but I mean, like, cowboy shit works. So yeah. Why not yeehaw bitch on a t-shirt? And like, you would make that your character.
Yeah.
You
and could I don't find her as kind of cartoony.
Over, yeah.
Like
yeah,
it
yeah.
seems like this, I buy that this is how she dresses when she goes out. Like yeah, that kind
yeah.
of stuff.
Yeah. It's not you know, over the top.
It
yeah,
doesn't. Yeah. yeah. It's not like she's just dressed like Jessie from Toy Story.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It feels like she's a real person. The yeah. bartender who is a cowgirl yeah. bartender, like rough. Housing,
goes to Boots and Hearts, and
there you go.
Should
yeah,
go not, this year.
Yeah, so not like Caden and Katana, yeah.
exactly.
who are fakes?
Fakes. Yeah.
Honestly, I like both of these two in the class of NXT, especially the women's division. Tiffany and Fallon, I think, with this match showed me that, like, yeah, these two could potentially go pretty far. This is developmental, but these two will go, I think, somewhere in WWE. Yeah.
We see Caden and Katana backstage, and they're mad. And they say, we told everyone to stop mistaking our kindness for weakness. Well, we hunted down Toxic Attraction and they better be annoyed. We don't care if it's 1.0 or 2.0. Toxic Trash better take their titles to In Your House and put them on the line. And this is where Wendy Chu comes in and says that it felt so good slapping her sack of balls in Mandy's face. And wants to leave room in her bag for the NXT Women's Championship.
Yeah, I mean, look, I giggled at the line because, sack of balls to the face. But this is the main women's title match and we're talking about balls in the face and stuff like that. Hey, if the match hits, let's do it. But yeah. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
We then get a video hyping up this incredible wrestler, Von Wagner, just showing him all the people he's been taken out.
Throwing them
into the crowd. And then get another video for Theo Hall. I was corrected last week. I said, I think this is like a next in line
right.
person, but no, this is someone who's going to be in NXT, literally graduating high school tomorrow.
Yeah. By the time you're listening to this podcast, she could already have graduated.
And she says she's going to have to make a choice of what college she goes to it. And she made it sound like she's making a decision live on NXT next week.
What do you mean? I hope that's what she's doing.
That's what I was getting from this.
This is so weird. So she's got... Look, I say every week this is Degrassi. This is a high school CW show about... it happens to revolve around wrestling. So here we have the character who's going through... This is 90210 at its finest. The big decision, the storyline arc next week. Do I go to Dartmouth? Am I going to Harvard? Which school do I go to? It's like a movie when they... Did I get accepted? Oh, that's literally the angle next week.
I can't wait. I don't think we've ever seen a college reveal live on TV.
She also said that... WWE. Yeah, she also... You may be asking, well, how can she be going to school if she's going to be in NXT? Well, she says that they are allowing her to do both.
Very good.
Wow. Good for
how
WWE.
How noble of WWE.
Yeah, letting her do that.
What a lovely company these are.
This is going to be great.
Yeah.
Dartmouth.
I'm interested. Beats a contract signing.
It's a college contract signing. Wow. And then like her vignettes are like her in school.
I'd want to see her like actually like opening the envelope, getting her grades. Having right. that live. Seeing the disappointment on her face.
Or
happy, yeah.
I could see a camera that follows her around, like in school, like, you know, at the cafeteria, getting in school fights. And
I feel this is someone you are going to see a lot of that. I think they are going to follow her college life.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm saying all this. I hate it, actually. I really don't like it.
I'm curious. Like, I thought I was more interested last week when I thought this was next in line.
Yeah,
I thought that would be more interesting, following right. someone really from the grounds up. But I don't know. We'll see next week. It's
just weird. I'm watching wrestling, and she's like, hey, I'm graduating school next week. I'm like, what does this have to... Okay.
For me, this feels more real than a girl sleeping. Like, this is a developmental...
Hey, people sleep, okay?
No, I'm saying this is a developmental sports company. You get that. Like, soccer teams where, like, someone's recruited at a super young age. And, right. yeah, but you've got to finish school and things. Like, this feels more... believable.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're a kind of potentially very talented wrestler, but you got to make sure you get your maths and your English and your science and all that first.
Yeah, you need your English credits.
Yeah.
Probably a PE credit somewhere.
So we go backstage to Bron Breakker, who's approached by Duke Hudson, head of their match tonight. Duke wearing an NXT 2.0 t-shirt.
Yeah, nothing says
like a geek.
Nothing says I'm going to job to you so hard tonight.
It's, yeah, I hate when people are wearing like just the like WWE stuff.
Yeah.
Like wear your own t-shirt.
Yeah.
Or like he's got a good body, just...
Don't worry.
This is the first time. I'm asking for the Aladdin.
No, don't ask for that back. No, please, no. I guess he's like, I got to wear something. Like, yeah. He's always walking around with his chest out. But yeah, Duke.
So Duke says, Bron, I just want you to know that that wasn't me who is put the photo on your door. And he's like, yeah, I know. It's Joe Gacy.
yeah, I know it's not you.
But I want you to know that I'm ready for tonight. And a man is at his deadliest when he has nothing to lose. Then he starts to kind of chat a bit of shit to Bron, who doesn't like it, and shoves him against the locker. And Duke goes, yeah, Gacy was right. You're predictable.
Damn.
So
I'm so excited for this match.
We're getting a lot of kind of broken characters trying to find themselves.
Broken Bron Breakker.
Wes Lee? No, I'm saying Duke Hudson.
Oh.
He's when a man has nothing to lose. He's taking the breakup with Persia kind of hard right now.
Yeah,
he lost his poker business.
Yeah.
He
lost his girl.
He lost his girl.
I mean, this show is like a TV weekly soap opera CW show because instead of like your characters getting killed off, they're just released. So like, yeah, these characters are sad because they know their releases are could be imminent, essentially, is the whole
Yeah, they got to get better at their job.
Yeah, or else
so
they're gone.
He's like, oh, I've got nothing to lose. I might not be here next week. They fired my girl.
Yeah.
Fired my tag partner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Put the vest back on.
Yeah, he's searching for something. He's trying to find something.
We all are.
Yeah. We go to Von Wagner taking on Ikemen Jiro. This feud has been going on for quite a while. Since Wagner threw Jiro into the crowd.
This feud's been going on so long, Kushida was still
Kushida
in the company.
Kushida was released, yeah. Jiro, normally doing the comedy thing, is pissed and storms the ring and hits a handspring elbow immediately. He's wearing his watermelon jacket here.
Watermelon
jacket. I love watermelon.
Watermelon stuff. Jiro.
I need his jacket. Watermelon Jiro. Wagner then takes him down with a clothesline and then sweeps Jiro off the turnbuckle, bouncing his head off the top. Jiro then comes back with a enziguri, sending Wagner to the outside, hits him with a baseball slide, and then an acai moonsault rolls Duke in the ring and hits a top rope tornado DDT, which looked pretty nice. But then Jiro couldn't help himself and showed Wagner his jacket.
Yeah, is that the best way you can explain why the jacket?
It's where he's going to do his jacket punches, yeah. But it's like he's flashing.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, "Way,
here's my nuts.
My jacket." And this allows Wagner to just pull the jacket over his head and then hits him with a Death Valley driver. I thought this was one of the better Death Valley drivers he's done.
Yeah, it was all right.
But it looked cool because his
jacket was over his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Von Wagner defeats Ikemen Jiro. And after the match, Sophia Cromwell comes out and points at Jiro. Basically say, hey, him, murder him. So Wagner picks him up, goes to throw him into the crowd again when Josh Briggs runs out for the save.
And scares him off.
Yeah.
So we're going to get Von versus Briggs.
Sounds great.
I'm a little confused with Cromwell being in the corner of Vaughn because he also has Mr. Stone, formerly known as Robert Stone. Right?
Yes.
So it's kind of weird because it's like you just need one. Why? Right? You're not wrestling.
Yeah, it's not clear what is Cromwell a client of Stone's?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Like an associate. Like they haven't really explained because here she kind of reminded me of Lana. You know, like the Rusev crush kind of stuff is what I was getting.
Yeah.
But you're right. It hasn't really been explained who she is or why she's with this brand.
Because he already has Robert Stone.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, do we need a Robert Stone here? Is that, like, where this goes? Because, like, why is he managing him if he's...
To speak.
But then we have Cromwell now kind of speaking
Who's
for
him. Hot.
Yeah, I guess.
And Von's the wrestler.
I know what you can do with Mr. Stone. He can join Max Dupree in his male modeling agency.
Oh, boy. I haven't watched it yet. I've heard about it.
Yeah. L.A. Knight, pour one out. Pour one out for L.A. Knight because he changed his name to Max Dupree.
Why did... They didn't even need to rebrand him. He's like, L.A. Knight's already a WWE name for this guy.
They already gave him that name, yeah.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah, really funny. They really are scraping the barrel of the bottom of the barrel with these.
And who's
gimmicks.
His clients? Mansoor and Mace?
You're joking.
No, that's who he's been paired with on, like, the dark matches and stuff. Main event or whatever.
Both really handsome men. But
Mace and Mansoor.
Yeah. One wears a mask.
I think Mace ditched the mask.
Who's Mace?
That's the commentator that Brock took out.
Yeah, yeah.
Dion Madden.
Is Dijak back? Is Dijak?
Dijak's just Dijak now.
Right.
Dijakovic. No, he's T-Bar still, but...
Oh.
But looks nice. More like Dijak.
Max Dupree. They need to bring in Rene Dupree to join his faction.
Like, why else call him this?
What would be the other reason?
What would be the other reason?
Yeah, pour one out for LA Knight. Eli Drake. Yeah. That sucks.
It sucks. Like, I think he's a guy that could make it work, though. I think he's really talented on mic.
Yeah.
It's a shitty gimmick, but, like, it could work.
He always whenever I watched him in Impact, Eli Drake, I always thought he had, like, machismo.
He
has that, like, aura, like, he's got it. He's got mojo, you know? Even in NXT as LA Knight, like, something about him, like, certain people the crowds got hot for him for there. He came in and everyone kind of groans, like, oh, okay, this is just a talking kind of guy. But then, like, no, like, every time he was put in big matches, he kind of delivered. The stuff with Grimes, delivered. Certain matches, like, delivered. And then he finally gets called up and you go, yeah, he looks like a WWE guy. He's a little bigger. He's jacked. He's a great talker. Got even a cool entrance music theme. I'm sure maybe he still uses. I don't know. And then, boom, they change the name and do all this. It's like, what? You literally had this guy who can talk circles around people. And you're doing that instead? Male modeling agency? That's like going to the back of the playbook. Like, all right, what do we got left here? It's really odd.
I find.
Not saying he was my favorite guy ever, but in an alternate universe, like, he's a bigger deal.
I like him a lot. I do think he's a talent that could make this work. It is head scratching, but this whole fucking company is. You've got Pete Dunne as a dog right now. So, like, at least he's playing a human being.
Is he supposed to be a
dog?
He's
a dog called Butch. Yeah.
Nice.
Who goes missing, runs away. Like, where's Butch?
Sorry.
Pissing against the tree.
Someone in the Twitch chat, shout out JP in the Twitch chat. Clearly, we missed out on something. The girl who is going to be going to school, she's going to be picking what school she's going to next week.
Chase U.
Yeah, how did we miss that? How did we not even think of that? The one school we have. Sorry, we legit have a college gimmick. And
so
we
this is going to be Bodhi's girlfriend, right?
Bodhi's girlfriend?
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Yeah, she's joining Chase U.
We just need a whole episode of NXT 2.0 just set in the school.
You can tell how much I actually care about NXT lately, that I even didn't even remember that we had a college gimmick.
This is true. This is true.
Thank you, Twitch chat.
Back to Tony D'Angelo, who says, this thing with the Legados has gone too far. It's got to end before it goes to a turf war, so let's settle this. Last time you came to me, and this time I go to you. And Stacks and Two Dimes are like, hey, Tony, you sure this is a good idea? You going on your own? He goes, I'll make him an offer. He can't refuse.
Hey.
So, I imagine, do you think it's a singles match in your house, or are we going to get the 3-on-3?
I would do some sort of group death match, kind of, not death match, but, you know, mafia match or some, you know, some stupid like
crowbar on a pole.
No, please none of those. No more of those. Yeah. I mean, a singles match might be the better match, but you do want the other guys.
I think a 3-on-3 could be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In some sort of gimmick.
Yeah. We then see Mr. Stone, Von Wagner, and Sophia Cromwell. And Stone is kind of mad about Josh Briggs. And he says, look, Von, you've been pissing off a lot of people recently. You're going to need eyes in the back of your head. Nathan Fraser, Wes Lee, Josh Briggs, Brooks Jensen, Ikem and Jiro, all these people. And Sophia says, hey, you need to ruffle some feathers to get some attention. And he's getting noticed around here.
And then she makes a sexy face and says, he can handle anything that comes his way.
Oh.
Ethan walks off. And Vaughn walks with him. Is he still in the UK too? Is he still going on his excursions?
No, he's back now.
No, yeah. No more Come Thursdays. No more back come to Come Tuesdays.
Yeah, I mean, this already kind of, we're asking about Stone and why have both.
Yeah. Like,
is he just going to leave Stone, do you think? Everyone does. And just be, is this.
That's so sad, man.
It's true.
Poor Robert Stone.
He had Mercedes, he had Aaliyah.
Dude, if we could be here all night with all the people he had.
Frankie Monet.
He had Shotzi's tank.
Shotzi's tank, yeah.
And his dick a lot.
Yep. I can see him just going with Sophia.
I can see Robbie E. coming to a indie fed near you soon. I do love Mr. Stone. I think he's been an actual pretty prominent part of this show. He's helped a lot of characters, but it is unfortunate that they use him and cast him aside.
Yeah.
Literally, like, as not as the character. They literally just go, and we're done with you. We're switching it out. Like, they do that to it repeatedly.
I think that's his, what kind of manager he is, though. He's your smart Mark Sterling of NXT.
Exactly.
You know, he's a bit of the geek that
they
bully, and that's kind of how you get the heel over is being kind of mean.
But Mark Sterling, like, what a stupid thing. And then it just, he's made it so good. He's Saul Goodman. Like, they didn't think Saul Goodman would be such a big, prominent character in that show. And then they go, wow, we're going to make a whole show about this guy. It's kind of similar. Like,
yeah.
But Mr. Stone is not.
They're going to make a whole show about Mark Sterling.
Not a whole show, but like.
He is on AEW.
Yeah, he put him on AEW. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like back-to-back segments.
Yeah. And he's on Being the Elite and all that shit, I'm sure. So, good.
We go then to Mandy, who says, we talked about this earlier. This is just calling out for
the matches. The matches. Yeah.
They get confirmed. We go to the barbershop with Trick and Mello and a guy in an Arsenal shirt. He's friends with an Arsenal fan there.
Shout out Arsenal.
Was this a different barbershop to the last one, I think?
I don't know, but they had different people.
It looked less of a barbershop.
It looked nice. This one they finally like fancier. Perfected how it looked.
Yeah,
definitely.
And Trick says, we got in your house, but I've been in your house and you have gold chains and all this fancy shit. Mello says, look, I don't feel the same since losing that championship. I don't feel quite as I used to. And this is when Cameron Grimes interrupts.
Uh-oh, I got a little nervous.
Holding his title. And he says he's here to talk to him. He's like, I took offense from what you said, that I was lucky. And Mello doubles down. He's like, yeah, you were lucky. You didn't deserve that title. And the whole world might think you deserve it, but I don't. You don't rock that title like I rock that title. You are not the A champion. And then Grimes said, maybe I don't deserve it, but I earned it. I hate this line. Whenever it's like, the you deserved it, Chanson, they went, no, I earned it. It's the same fucking thing. You deserve things you earn, right?
Yeah.
Like, what? I don't get this line.
I did like the other line, though, that comes.
But he says, and yeah, all you will be is a champion.
Yeah, you were the A champion. You were a champion. Not anymore. You were a champion.
And Grimes says that there's already a guy who's a better version of Mello in NXT, and his name is Nathan Fraser, and he's going to beat him next week to prove a point, and he walks out. And Mello looks a little like,
he's shook.
He normally gets the like last word in all these things, and he didn't this week.
Well, Grimes came
kind
in.
Of put him in his place.
Yeah, Grimes checked him in his own hood. Like, he came over to his battle air, like, you know, coming into his territory and then flexing on him. Like, I like this, actually. I expected it. As soon as they said Mello's in the thing, I was like, oh, Grimes has to show up and like kind of.
I like this setting. I thought some of the editing in this was a bit weird. Like, it was a little choppy.
They always were.
Which is very, like, it makes it always feel really cheap. I think it's Borash, is it, who does it?
Maybe,
it's his style, because it was very, like, Impact as well would do this. I just don't really like the editing of it, but I do like these segments in the barbershop. I think it works.
Honestly, give these guys all the time on that show.
Yeah.
Because these two will have a classic if given the if given the time. I think these two can put on a banger of a match.
Yeah.
100%. I like this. It's kind of solidified the character of Grimes. Like, don't forget about me. Don't sleep on me. And he's not coming in laughing. He's coming in kind of more serious.
He's got a bit of an edge at the moment,
yeah.
I think. It kind of, to a lesser extent, reminds me of what Hangman's doing right now.
Right.
Where it's like, I am actually the champion here.
Yeah.
Like, so maybe take me seriously.
I like Grimes coming in. Watch out, man. Love it.
So we then see Joe Gacy with his druids. They've clearly heard the criticism about them just wearing Undertaker's druids costumes.
Yeah. Because
then they added like a red mask underneath.
And now they're all
and now red. They're all in red.
They're Empire.
Like red tracksuit bottoms. And
yeah, it's like, it's in between the...
It's like red velvet.
Red, like Senator Palpatine. What's the Emperor in Star Wars? Like his red guards. But it's then it meets like the... What is it? Those red Adidas tracksuits.
Yeah.
What's that movie?
Velour.
What's the movie with all those the family members in the tracksuits?
Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, it looks like that.
Yeah. So they've changed. They've gone shopping. They've changed their hoods this week.
Yeah.
And Joe Gacy says, "Oh, friends, you did a fabulous job, and clearly, you're getting to Bronn. And next match, we'll make sure of it." And then we get a video that halfway through I had to be like, "Yo, Braden, this is NXT."
Oh, yeah.
Because you thought it was just a...
I thought it went to commercial.
Commercial.
Yeah, I thought it was like, you know, some commercial.
This was shot like a perfume commercial. You know, kind of whispery voice and shots of Venice. This character's talking about growing up in Venice, and style is a way to speak without words. Fashion is his expression. Dreams are for dreamers, but goals are for achievers. And coming soon, Giovanni Vinci. Yeah.
Yeah. So you hear like a woman's voice, like describing him, and then you cut to him.
So I thought this was a woman's voice.
But then it changed voices to his voice.
Did it?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
But then, it's Italian?
Yes.
Right? So instantly we think, okay, well, it's Fabian Aichner. And it pans, like, you can't see his face, but you can see, like, his chin.
Mm.
And he's got some, like, facial hair going on. So I'm like, okay, it still could be Fabian Aichner, but Giovanni Vinci.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean...
The Giovanni code.
I mean, Eichner's not from Venice.
No.
But it doesn't really matter for them. But, I guess it could be Eichner. I mean, he's a good-looking guy. Could you see this guy as a bit of a fashionista?
I mean, look at him. He looks like a male model. We've talked about how Jack, this guy, was always in crazy shape.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is... Can we have more than one Italian over-the-top characters NXT?
At the same time, in the same company, we've got a fashionista male model.
Oh, yeah.
And Max a male model agency.
Yeah.
And two Italians.
Tyler Breeze was ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm interested if this is him, then yeah. I mean, this it's weird because you would figure that they would just make it this whole Italian mob character.
Yeah, but maybe this is... I kind of like, if this is Aichner, I like that they're having him solo. I think this guy came in as a solo act, and then they put him with Bartel, and they were a fantastic tag team. But, like, this guy's great. He had the singles run in Evolve as champion there. Like, I think it's good that if this is showing that he's going to have a bit of a singles run.
Yeah.
The character's probably going to be ridiculous. But I actually quite like this vignette. It felt a bit more, of an old school vignette for WWE.
It's funny because Max Dupri, right, is LA Knight. He's the male modeling thing. I joked that Rene Dupri should come back when it's his former partner, Sylvain, who does Sylvain, the male model gimmick in the 2000 something. So it's just weird. I'm picturing this guy Fabian's going to come out wearing glasses like Bono. And then comes out to the ring, gets his stuff up, acting all bougie and fancy Italian.
I think that's more how it's going to go. Maybe less so like not like the Prince Pretty, not my face kind of thing, but more just like likes expressing himself with his fashion.
I'm thinking like
being
yeah.
a bit more suave, like, you know.
Yeah. European I'm thinking fashion. More European. Still, like, you could be, still be, like, you know, your tough badass. Like, you know, who's the bald actor, the British guy? Jason Statham? Mm. Like, you can still be classy and tough. You don't have to be like, oh, my face. You can still be like,
that's
rough.
What I think he's. I think this one's going to be a classier.
Like James Bond, Daniel Craig, you know?
Like, Ginny does it, you know?
Ginny the wrestler?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like female version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm interested to see where it goes. It could be terrible for him, but hey, it's good. He's a great wrestler. We've talked about him for a long time. Even before, you were right, even before Imperium, he was great talent in NXT, in the Cruiserweight Classic, and all that stuff. So Fabian Aichner is good. So I'm excited to see if they give him a chance to do something.
We go to our main event, Bron Breakker versus Duke Hudson. And Bron gets distracted immediately as he looks up at the perch where Gacy and his druids are. Bron then hits these nice-looking exploder suplexes to Duke and then hits a spinning delayed vertical suplex. Like, Duke Hudson's a big guy, and yeah. he was doing this with ease to 6'5". There were then big clotheslines from Bron, which knocked both guys down, and now the druids and Gacy are at ringside, and Duke throws Bron into the steps and then rolls him into the ring, attempts the recliner to Breakker, but Breakker breaks free and now tries to apply the Steiner recliner himself. But Duke fights back with a double jab to the throat, goes for a leapfrog, but gets caught with the power slam. And then Bron takes the straps down, clotheslines Duke to the outside, and then he looks at the druids. They go to jump him, so he beats them up. Rolls into the ring, and Duke Hudson has a chair, but Bron grabs it off of him. Gacy gets on the apron, and Bron swings at Gacy with the chair, but Gacy jumps down. And then Duke grabs him, and Bron spins around, clocks Duke with the chair, causing the disqualification. Which, if he does this in your house, he will lose the title. Yeah. And Bron is mad. And Gacy just says, "Your impulse, you can't control it."
Just can't control your impulse.
Yeah.
Come on, Bron. Control your impulse.
Control your impulse.
Yeah, I didn't think too much of this match. Highlight of it for me was Duke mocking the Steiner barking. He started doing it, which the crowd then booed him. But I couldn't really get into this match. I just don't care. I'm straight honest. The feud sucks. This match didn't do anything. You knew, paint by numbers, this was going to be the finish of this match.
Yeah. Yeah, like, okay, they achieved... What they did achieve is you can have Bron get DQ'd without... Like, they often do the spot in the match, you know, with, like, Max, like MJF and Darby, where he rolls the skateboard and he's like, "Do it, hit me.
Right,
and
yeah.
Like, "No, I'm not going to do it."
Yeah.
Whereas here it's more like accidentally getting DQ'd. So they're showing, it can happen anyway. But yeah, I hate this feud. I'm not interested in the match. I thought it was cool seeing Bron throw Duke around, because Duke's pretty big. But yeah, I wasn't interested in this at all. It was just weak. That's what I wrote here at the end, just a weak ending.
Yeah, no, kind of a weak episode. It had some good wrestling, but I didn't hate this episode. I say that a lot lately, but I didn't. This was just the main angle with the world title with Bron is so bad that it drags. Like, there is no interest in this feud, in this match, main event that we just watched. Like, anything revolving around Bron and Gacy at this point is beyond repair for me. Like, this should have been ended way before. So they need to move along with this.
Yeah, I thought this was a fairly just dull episode for me. I've actually quite enjoyed the last few weeks. I think the wrestling content has got better on this show, and that's the main thing I like. I would say I think it's the two main titles that I don't have an interest in at the moment,
yeah.
Which is a problem. But I will say I've been enjoying the women's breakout tournament, and I think the tag match is going to be great with the Creeds and Pretty Deadly. I think the North American title scene looks in very good condition. I think that match is going to be great. So, yeah, it's just the two title matches I really don't like. But for me, recently, it's been those, like, women's tournament matches that have been I've been enjoying in this show.
Yeah, highlight of this episode was Tiffany Stratton and Fallon in that match. There was some good stuff there. I like the fact that we're getting vignettes for new characters. That's what NXT needs to keep doing. Like, keep going forward, pushing, bringing up the new characters and trying things out. Like, that's what the show is for. Half the time it works and half the time it doesn't. But when your main title, Braun Breaker, just continuously looks dumb. It's the Seth Rollins Fiend thing, right? Over again. So it's just super uninteresting for me. Like, I just don't care whatsoever. I do care about the Grimes-Hayes storyline because I think that will be the match of that show. Definitely. So the North American title singles match, Hayes and Grimes. Pretty Deadly versus the Creed Bros. Wendy versus Mandy. Toxic versus Katana and Kayden.
Yeah.
And Braun versus Joe Casey. Easily one of the worst looking NXT shows.
I think so.
Premium live events.
Yeah.
I mean, the main event just simply goes, come on, really?
Yeah.
No, come on, get out of here.
Yeah, there will be good stuff on the show, but it's not looking great.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be in front of this. It's nothing extra. It's just a Saturday. It's not like we're paying $30 for this or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like it's in an arena. It's just in Florida.
It's just happening in some warehouse in Florida.
Well, that's what we thought. Let's see what you guys thought. And we always put up our feedback on the Facebook group and the Post Wrestling Forum.
Yeah, I'm seeing no one posted on the Facebook.
Oh, yeah. No, we've got one here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
I'll go to it. It's Sean who says, I have to admit there was some stuff on this show I just didn't like. Von Wagner, no thank you. Wendy Chu getting a title shot when all she does is lose? No, sir. This Bron Gacy feud? Hell no. But with all that being said, I really enjoyed the show tonight. I'm not sure I can explain it. They put a lot out there, but the show had great flow. Nothing felt shortchanged. Some highlights. Outside of a botched springboard from Malik Blade, I thought the opening tag match was a lot of fun, with Donovan and Lorenzo looking pretty impressive as a tag team. I also really liked the match between Wesley and Sanger, which told a good story about the clash of size, power, and styles. Mandy looked really good in the ring tonight, but Indy seemed a little bit off. Clunky. Hopefully she'll find her footing as a singles talent again after some more reps. Shout out to Team Ninja for taking it to Toxic Attraction as well. Of course, Nikita Lyon's injury cast a shadow over tonight's breakout semifinals, but Roxanne actually managed to get a decent match out of Lash Legend without getting hurt. While I may not be the biggest fan of Stratton, just being inserted into the semifinals, she and Fallon put on a damn good match. While I wanted Fallon to win, she was probably going to lose to Nikita anyway. Shout out to Lopez as well, who has a really good effort against Alba Fire. When I think about Elektra's match with B-Fab and how awful it was, it's cool to see how far La Madrina has come. While the NXT and the NXT Women's Championship matches for In Your House are pretty underwhelming, I am excited for everything else, and I'm looking forward to next week.
And then I see we have one more here.
On the forum.
From Andrew Thompson.
Oh!
That's right, Scoops here. Andrew Thompson. Check out all his work on postwrestling.com. He is a legend. Andrew Thompson writes in, just wanted to say what's up, good men. I hope all is well. Proud of the work y'all are doing. Likewise, good sir. He then says, I was going to ask and say that, but I have a question. When Mandy Rose drops the NXT title, do you think Gigi and JC will get the call up with her, or will they just reunite Mandy with Sonya on the main roster, leaving Gigi and JC behind?
Interesting, because there is something we didn't talk about, is this tag tournament that they're holding for the women's tag titles since they've been vacated.
Oh, yeah.
Currently, I believe there are, two teams?
WWE?
Yeah, so there have been some rumors about maybe, going back to the rumor mill at the beginning of the show, about having some NXT teams in this tournament. Like either Gigi and JC or KC and Kayden, I think whoever doesn't win this match should be inserted. Like, why not?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you'd have anyone else, but yeah, I could see one of those two teams.
What teams did WWE have for with the women? They have
Shayna and Natalia. I don't know if Doudrop and Nikki still a team.
Yeah, let's say they are. That's two teams.
They could always just do Zaylea
Xylia.
The people have been asking for it.
The people, the streets need it.
Is that it?
Yeah. Toxic Attraction.
Toxic
Attraction. Casey and Katana.
Casey and Katana.
Katana and Katie. What? Caden and Katana.
Yeah. Caden and Katana.
Cora and Roxanne.
Yep.
And then bring in some legends.
You've got
Joker.
Valentina Feroz.
Oh, yeah, and, they're great.
Ulyssa Leon.
That's right. There yeah. you go.
NXT already has more tag teams.
Yeah. Great.
You could have Idris and Malik Blake dress up again. They should cosplay Naomi and Sasha.
Oh, that like would be
like they did the family last week.
Mm. Yeah. I do like the Joker in the tournament. Bring in like a legend tag team.
What, like when for the SmackDown tag titles, they brought in the Headbangers? Do yeah. you remember that? That
yeah,
was
yeah.
weird.
Yeah, yeah.
I appreciated it, though.
Bring, like, was there any other women tag teams back in the day? Just put two legends together.
Beth Phoenix and...
Natalya.
Well, Natalya's with Shayna.
Lay Cool.
Lay Cool, yeah.
Just put Trish and Lita together. Win the titles. Book it.
Yeah.
We'll show you Sasha and Naomi. We're booking the two fucking legends we have as the champions. Just saying.
Yeah.
This if I was Vince, I would now book the women's tag division as the greatest thing ever. Just to say fuck you, but that won't happen, so don't worry.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you, Andrew, for writing
Andrew.
In.
We miss you.
Yeah, let's do a show soon. Yeah. 100%. Check out the NWA with Andrew. Guys, thanks so much for listening to us talk about some NXT from May 24th, 2022. It was a blast. We have another week before we go to that... not spring break. Fuck, what's it called? In Your House.
In Your House.
So, yeah, we will be doing a show again next week. Behind the BDE. Sorry, no. Being the... There's too many shows.
BD Elite.
BD Elite will be back this week chatting all about Dynamite, of course, and all these other podcasts that we have out on the Patreon. So many different shows. And it's only $5 if you want to give us a shot. It equals pennies per podcast out there. All the retro NXT reviews, best match ever. Retro pay-per-view reviews, movie reviews, everything is up there. We're working on the June schedule, which is going to be nuts because we love doing anniversaries now. 1997 was a crazy year. Next month is the 25th anniversary of the movie Face Off. So look forward to checking out that review coming from us. And I think the 40th anniversary of The Thing, John Carpenter.
Oh, right.
So okay. I think we might be doing that as well. Nice. So look for that as
Perfect.
Well. And yeah. At Up Next Podcast on Twitter and all that stuff. Facebook page, the Facebook group and all that stuff. Shout out to the people of Texas. This is a podcast where we watch wrestling and try to just check out. And sometimes, man, it's really hard. But every day it seems like there's bad news going around. Whether it's more shootings in the States and just monkey paw this and all that. But we hope we... got your attention off that for a little while. That's our goal here. But, yeah, love to Texas. I just said love to Buffalo last week on a show, and I can't even go a week without being
It
like
happens way too much. Often.
Yeah.
And it is a problem. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe focus on, you know, controlling guns rather than women's bodies right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Definite.
But
for sure.
Sorry to end on that note, but yeah, it sucks what's going on right now, and it's been happening way too long for nothing to be done about
it. Sorry, kids going to school, man. That's that's way too messed up. But sorry we had to bring that up, but we had to.
Hmm.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys listening to us. We love you guys. We'll chat with you very, very soon. I myself, Braden Harrington, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all that shit. At the Brady.
And I am at Davey Portman.
Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And yeehaw, bitch.
Ahoy!